The next matter, number 24-1731, Marilix Villanueva Perez et al. Versus Hospital de Mas Incorporated. At this time, would counsel for the appellants please come to the podium and introduce himself on the record to begin.
Good morning, Your Honors. Juan Martinez on behalf of appellant. May I reserve 2 minutes, please, for a rebuttal?
You may. Okay, let's proceed.
This case concerns whether the district court may preclude a plaintiff's expert witness and dismiss the medical malpractice case with prejudice as a discovery sanction, where plaintiffs had already identified the expert's curriculum vitae, the expert's identity. Discovery had yet to conclude, discovery had been stayed, and the record reflects only a single alleged violation of the case management order. We recognize that
what you're asking that's an error. You concede. Well, let me split it into a couple of questions. You concede that there had been on your client's part there may have been some violations, correct, or at least one violation.
Yes, at least, I mean, only one violation.
Okay, so what you're suggesting is, and there's case law, the courts have, when it comes to Rule 37 violations, the district courts have quite some latitude in taking sanctions, but what I think the thrust of your argument is that the sanction should have been a lesser one, perhaps, or maybe your client should have given one warning and said you have 10 more days or 15 more days. If not, are you suggesting that? Because
absolutely, specifically under the Esposito versus Home Depot case, because in that case, when the sanction that is effectively imposed terminates the case, the justification for that sanction has to be, as stated in Esposito, comparatively more robust. It has to be, justified by the court, and the record. And that is absent from the record in this case.
Counsel, let me ask you, so I understand your argument that expert reports were not due until March 1st.
Exactly.
Under the case management order. It seems pretty clear from the face of the order that was the deadline. But March 1st is rapidly approaching. Your client has not disclosed an expert report. Why doesn't your client ask for an extension of the deadline or a modification of the case management order?
Because on March 1st, a stay of all discovery.
I understand that, counsel, but you hadn't disclosed anything by March 1st. And okay. Normally one doesn't wait until the date that something is due to ask a court for an extension. So, you know, you've got the whole month of February, you know, the deadline is coming. Why was there no request? Why was it unreasonable for the district court here under the standard of review we're using to say, you know what, this party doesn't even ask, it just ignores a clear deadline?
I understand your question. Okay, so the answer to your question is as follows. During the month of February, the fact witness depositions were supposed to be taken, and they were coordinated for February 7th and 8th. They were then canceled by the defendants because it was their position that plaintiffs had to render an expert report and were not allowed.
Counsel, I understand that you were frustrated by your adversary's conduct, but I guess just to return, if you could try and respond to my question, you know you have a deadline that a court has imposed, and regardless of what your adversary may be doing, you're about to miss the deadline. Why wasn't there a request for an extension of the expert report deadline made?
I guess, once again, because of the fact that the stay of the discovery was requested within the deadline.
So but it wasn't requested within the deadline. It was requested on March 1st, and by that point, your report was already due.
On the day of the deadline. And 3 days later, the court grants the stay. And at the same time, I believe on February 27th, I was filing a cert reply to a motion, to another motion to dismiss that had been filed in that case regarding a jurisdictional issue, which is what we understood that the court, because it was a jurisdictional issue, we understood that the court would be dealing with that first instead of the...
Back to Judge Rickleman's question, why was no motion filed saying it's March 1st? We need to, and as you mentioned, you needed to depose two other individuals before you come with, you know, you have an expert, available. why was no motion filed? Because I understand that, you know, perhaps your expert needs to see the testimony, that position testimony of those two individuals to come up with an expert opinion, which could be favorable, could be unfavorable. You know, you never know. But you didn't make that request.
I absolutely understand that it wasn't made. But once again, even based on Esposito, where the request was made weeks after, the court said that single lapse in judgment did not warrant the dismissal. So even under Esposito, the terms under Esposito were much worse than the terms in this particular case.
And what you're saying is that there still would have been ongoing discovery, because the discovery deadline was not March 1st.
Exactly. It was April 30th.
That was the deadline to disclose the expert report.
Exactly. It was on April.
And this is not like the summary judgment deadline is set, all the deadlines and the, you know, because I you know, you realize district judges have to manage voluminous dockets in hundreds of cases. So there's need to comply. But what you're saying is that in this case, you would have had at least like another month, a month and a half.
I actually had 60 days because the
March till April 31st.
April 30, 31st, exactly. So we were still within the discovery deadline. And like I said, Esposito is particularly distinguishable in this case because in Esposito, the request was made weeks after the discovery had already concluded. And even under those circumstances, which are much different than these particular circumstances where discovery had yet to conclude, there was a bona fide discovery dispute, there was a dispositive motion regarding jurisdictional issues, all of these things were being attended, and on the day that the deadline expired, the extension, the stay was requested, and the court granted it 3 days later. So I recognize that it wasn't requested within the deadline, but it kind of, or the way at least I saw it, 3 days later, it was fixed because the court effectively stayed all of the discovery,
let me also
which
ask
was pending
counsel,
before the case.
This appears to be a Rule 37 dismissal sanction, but in the district court's opinion, it's going to the merits saying you haven't provided an expert report, but to prove a medical malpractice claim under diversity law in Puerto Rico, you need to have the expert. So isn't this really also a 12B6 type of because it's been dismissed on the merits.
But the thing is that discovery had yet to conclude. So at the end of the day, defendant did not even file a Rule 37 motion. What they filed was originally a 12B6 motion. And what they were alleging at that point in time, which was...
So, but my question is, did the judge have to give you notice that it was converting it to a Rule 30? Because, again, opposing counsel never request a Rule 37 sanction.
We believe that... The decision that the court took was the most drastic court decision that the court could have taken, because the court could have granted a couple of extra days to render the report, could have
but even if you did not request that extension, you're still saying it was an error.
Absolutely, and specifically based on what Esposito clearly states. Under more onerous terms than this particular case.
Thank you. Before you sit down, what was the jurisdictional issue that was being debated?
There was a jurisdictional issue regarding diversity jurisdiction, because one of the causes of action in the complaint was regarding the inherited cause of action. And the inherited cause of action, the defendants were positing, required the presence of one of the heirs that was part of the estate who lives in Puerto Rico, and they were alleging that it was an indispensable party that had to be brought into the district court, and by bringing that party into district court, diversity would be destroyed. So that argument was a second motion to dismiss that was also pending, and that was the object of the surreply that was filed within those days. Specifically, I believe that on the 27th of February, I requested an extension of time, and on the 5th of March was when the surreply reply was filed.
So, but you filed a surreply, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, and that was granted. The request to file a surreply.
The surreply was granted, and it was filed within the deadline filed.
And that deadline is past March 1st anyway.
It was March 5th.
So there's things going on litigation-wise parallel, you know, what you were saying, correct?
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to get at. There were subpoenas that were issued.
And let me ask you, when was the court stay granted? March 1st or March 3rd?
It was requested on March 1st. I believe that it was on the 5th, 4 days later.
What was the specific stay requested? Because of discovery violations or because of the 12B6 or because of the jurisdictional?
The stay was based on the motions to dismiss that were pending.
So 12B6 and the jurisdictional one, yeah.
Exactly.
And it was the defendant's motion to stay, right?
Exactly. But we didn't oppose it because we were in agreement with the stay of the discovery until the issues were resolved, particularly the jurisdictional issue, which is why we understood that in the order of things, the court would have first decided the jurisdictional issue and then enter on the merits in the case.
Okay, thank you. You have 2 minutes rebuttal.
Thank you, counsel. At this time, would counsel for the appellee please come up to the podium and introduce himself on the record?
It's Plessy Court. My name is Carlos Martinez Vivas on behalf of Hospital Damas. The issue here is that plaintiffs, since the beginning of the case, were challenged the case manager order, the CMO. In this case, the plaintiff failure to disclose the expert report in violation of the case manager order was deliberate, willful, intentional.
How do you know that? Because there's a deadline of March 1st. You know, and then you file the motion like 3 days later. This is not like he's telling, I'm going to give, or at least there's nothing in the record saying, I'm going to give it to you. He's telling the court he's going to give it to the parties and nothing happens. You know, we're talking about a very short period.
Yes, because since the beginning, we had a conversation and the condition to submit the expert report was to depose the physicians and the hospital before.
But counsel, why is that unreasonable? Normally in civil litigation, attorneys want to do their fact discovery before they submit their expert reports. And here, they were asking to depose those physicians in January, February, and their expert report isn't due until March 1st. So I was a bit confused why your client was suggesting that there was something inappropriate about that. Can you explain?
You have to remember that the first thing that happened in this case is that plaintiff requested dismissal against the physicians. So the only defendant say in the case was the hospital. This is a private physician case, okay? Plaintiff was going to take the deposition to the physicians to obtain information, okay? And maybe to amend the complaint or to change the case. And there at that point, there were not parties in the case, okay?
But he's still entitled to depose them because the hospital might be responsible vicariously for the liability. So that's why the need to depose. And again, the expert, one of the things is the expert is an expert, but obviously, but depending on the deposition testimony, the plaintiff's own expert might say, hey, counsel, you don't have a claim here. That's why discovery is important, because if he doesn't have an expert who's going to be favorable, you know, he might have to voluntarily dismiss the case or, you know, there's Rule 11 sanctions if he files something, moves on something frivolous. So that's why that information is so essential for him. And again, discovery is still ongoing. You filed a motion to dismiss for lack of jurisdiction, which is still pending. So why, you know, again, my question is why this is a flagrant, like they say in basketball, flagrant foul 2 or something violation that warrants dismissal right away because the case is still ongoing. It's a preliminary stage. Discovery hasn't ended.
Okay, you have to remember, Judge, that the court. I'm sorry, that this is a private physician case, as I mentioned. That the allegations are against the physicians. Okay, the ablation was coordinated.
Excuse me, it's against the physicians and the hospital. The doctors were voluntarily dismissed. That does not mean that the hospital did not have some vicarious liability.
Yes, but remember that the hospital, in this case, according to Marquez Vega, the patient did not go to the hospital, did go to the physicians, and then go to the hospital.
The merits.
But as a matter of fact.
That's the merits.
Huh?
That's the merits. That's what discovery yes, is yes, to sure. flesh that out.
Yes, yes. But as a matter of fact, the subpoena were served to the physicians. Okay, those depositions were not taken. By that time, and plaintiff
moved to stay discovery, didn't you? Huh? You moved to stay discovery. Well, the depositions were taken.
I moved to stay after the deadline because the deadline was March 1, and I have to file the motion at March 1 because remember, I have an obligation also after he submit the report to submit a report. So I have to file the motion on March 11. But on March 6 was the day. On March 6, the court ordered to say at that time the deadline expired already. Okay?
But it had only expired by 5 days.
Yes, sure. But no opposition was filed.
Let me ask you, aside from this violation, which counsel is admitting that
okay.
Are there any other violations that have occurred in the case or something that
yes,
what
yes.
else what else had happened that's on the record?
Yes. And the court considered also the other violations in the case. We submit an interrogatory to plaintiff, and the plaintiff interrogatories, Ms. Villanueva, were incomplete. I received no answer from the other co-plaintiff.
Okay, but had you moved the court?
Yes, I did.
Had ordered those interrogatories?
Yes, I did. At docket 34 and at docket 60.
You filed a motion to compel?
And I made the certification also.
You filed a motion to compel?
I didn't fight the motion, but I complied with the certification. In motion, as I mentioned, in the motions, I didn't fight the motion to compel because the issue on the bottom line is that no expert witness was notified, and I thought that I complied with the rule.
You're moving to dismiss, because there's no expert witness yet, you're moving to dismiss 12b-6 because without an expert, he can't prove his claim under Puerto Rico law. But you never move for a Rule 37 sanction dismissal, correct?
Well, I did mention, I did mention that because there was no... that the bottom line is that no expert witness was notified. And I did mention the Rule 37C, in Motion 34 and in Motion 60 also. When I requested the motion to stay, I did mention the Rule 26. I did mention the Rule 37.
Counsel, when did you file your motion to dismiss for lack of an expert witness? What date was that?
That was at the beginning of the case. Let me check. The first motion to dismiss for lack of an expert witness was on December the 4th.
But at that point, it was still almost 3 months until the expert report deadline.
But I filed Correct. The motion. Yes, sure. But I filed the motion because it was when plaintiff requested the dismissal.
No, yes, I understand. I'm just trying to set the timeline correctly. So in other words, there's a motion pending based on a statement by plaintiff's counsel that they were dismissing the physicians because they couldn't.
That he has no expert.
Yes, so no, I understand. I just want to ask you a couple of other questions. So you file that motion based on counsel's representation that they don't have the funds to retain an expert. But then shortly thereafter, plaintiffs do tell you that they have now retained an expert and provide you with the expert's name, correct?
Surprisingly, 22 days later, okay, when the motion was filed, was because they don't have the economic means. But 22 days later, they announced the expert and also went to depose the physicians. I have to remember something. I want to say something, please. Is that when the motion was stayed, plaintiff did not file a motion, the issue was the dismissal for lack of expert. The bottom line, that was no expert at that time. And plaintiff did not file any motion to make another subpoenas or to make an opposition to the motion to stay.
He didn't object to it.
Huh?
He didn't object to it.
He did not object to it. And the memorandum and order was 4 months later, okay? 4 months later, the motion to stay was on March 6th, and he did nothing. And he
but
did,
there's a request to stay that's not opposed, and the court's granting that request early March. So, what you know, counsel doesn't have to do anything. And let me say this, I would assume he's opposing the jurisdictional issue, so that's definitely
Yes, sir, Josh. But remember that there was a motion pending for lack of expert witness. The deadline already expired, and there were no experts at that time.
If there was a jurisdictional issue pending, it could have resolved the whole case, and therefore, if the court had ruled in your favor on the jurisdictional issue, there would have been no need to spend money deposing witnesses and retaining an expert, would they? I mean, doesn't it make sense that you want to know if the court agrees with you that diversity has now been compromised and it's getting kicked out of federal court?
But however, plaintiff cannot rely on the other motion. They were two motions, and the motions has to be addressed. Okay.
But generally, the court addresses jurisdiction first, because without jurisdiction, none of this other stuff matters.
Sure, but both things were running at the same time.
Let me also say this: this case is still on appeal. There's an issue of jurisdiction still that hasn't been resolved alone. We could consider that, and I know when there's heirs involved, I've been on some cases on the circuit that it has been discussed. I also in some of the district, it's an issue, and it's still something we could take on at the outset. We could even rule in your favor. There's no jurisdiction in this case, but you know. Okay. Anything else, counsel?
Both things were running at the same time. You have to remember that we have a case manager order that has a deadline for expert. So the motion for lack of jurisdiction was not resolved. So the case has to run. And the case management order established the deadline at March 1.
But the case management has stayed, I believe it's March 6th or something, so it's not, it's within...
On March 6th, after the deadline.
Okay, thank you, counsel.
Thank you very much.
2 minutes for rebuttal.
Please reintroduce yourself on the record to begin.
I'm sorry?
Reintroduce yourself.
Oh, Juan Martinez on behalf of Appellant. The underlying issue here is that this regularly happens in medical malpractice cases. Plaintiffs file their complaint and defendants pose that no fact witness discovery can be conducted until plaintiffs render an expert witness report. And it's a problem because they then obfuscate discovery and refuse to allow witnesses, plaintiffs to do fact witness depositions. The case management order was rendered on, I apologize.
We got all that.
I'm sorry?
We got all that.
Oh.
Can you just talk a little bit more about this jurisdictional issue? Because that seems to be like really rearing its ugly head here. I mean, if assuming we ruled in your favor, and I'm not saying we are, but if we did, what's to become of the diversity quandary?
It is an excellent question. I can only surmise that if you were to rule in our favor, then the court would have to decide the jurisdictional
argument. Issue fully briefed before the district court, before the dismissal?
That it was fully briefed.
It was fully briefed.
The motion, response in opposition, reply, and surreply. The surreply was the one that I filed on March 5th, which is, you know, very close to that March 1st deadline regarding the expert report.
I mean, does it make sense for us to remand, maybe vacate and then remand for the court to consider the jurisdictional issue before you keep going down this road?
I would have preferred for the court to have dealt with the jurisdictional issue first instead of the on the merits, but as far as plaintiffs are concerned, yes, it would make sense for you to remand and vacate the district court's decision. I can only surmise that months down, if in fact you would vacate, months down the road, we will probably find ourselves here regarding whatever way the court decides the jurisdictional
issue.
The
court could retain jurisdiction over the appeal.
I'm sorry?
The court could retain jurisdiction over the appeal pending a resolution by the district court of something that seems very primary, which is, does the federal court have jurisdiction?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, counsel. That concludes argument in this case.